Lord, do it. Lord, do it for me. Everybody knows this song. I know the mothers know this song. Look where he brought me from. Oh, look where he brought me from. Well, he brought me out of darkness. Oh, into the marvelous light. Oh, look. Look where he brought me from. Look where he brought me from. Well, he brought me into the marvelous light. Look where. Well,
Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. And just thank God for the Spirit of Christ in this place. Amen. I don't know about you, but my heart is overwhelmed this morning. It really is. Just the joy of the Lord. Amen. How many have joy in Jesus? Seriously. I know it's a lot of stuff going on in life, but listen. The magnitude of this love. The magnitude of our sin, that's the grace of God. And love won. Amen. Aren't you glad about that? Aren't you glad that love overcame it? The Bible says his love covers a multitude of sin. Amen. And I thank God. Man, I couldn't help the men were in here when I walked in the door. They were singing about our victory. Man, and it just overwhelmed my heart. Can we just continue to sing a little bit of that? He said, we have the victory. Dory. Tell me who can stand before us. Oh, oh, oh. The name of Jesus. His name is Jesus. I love that name. Oh, prayer. We used to sing a song. I don't know if you know this one. He said, shall I One more time, one more time, one more time. Whom shall I, because somebody's scared today. Whom shall I fear? Says in the time of trouble, amen, he shall hide me in his pavilion. Shall he hide me? Amen. Amen. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. Amen. He's a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them. Amen. Aren't you glad he knows your name? Somebody ain't glad about it this morning. Listen, he's worthy. He's worthy. Amen. 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 Thank God. Thank God. Amen. Give an honor to God. Amen. The Most High God, the self-existent God. Amen. The only true and wise God. He's worthy of praise, honor, and glory. To Pastor Wright. Amen. The Deacon Wright, all of the deacons. Amen. Everybody in the building. Amen. To my wife. Listen, we just greet you all this morning in the joy of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And we thank God for just everything, everything that has taken place this morning. I told Pastor Wright, please pray that I can even get up here and stand this morning. I was just so overcome this morning, just thinking about the goodness of the Lord. Amen. If you're not in a place where, regardless of what you're going through, and you can't think on the name of Jesus and what you have and what he's done, guess what? You waste your time in church. I'm telling you right now. I'm telling you right now. The Lord, the joy of the Lord, amen, is our strength. It really is. And I pray, man, I pray that we have it this morning beyond a feeling. Amen. But that we know something in our hearts. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise one more time. I ain't going to ask y'all to do nothing else this morning. Amen. But listen to what the Lord has to say in the book of Romans, the 5th chapter. Amen. Starting at the first verse. Man, I do have one more thing to say. Thank God for praying through the scriptures. I'm telling you, how many people have been there? How many people have been on? Some of y'all rolling your eyes right now. God help you. Lord, how many people have been on? Seriously. Has it not been a blessing? If you've not been on, and we just finished it, we just closed it out. But when we come back, Pastor? In August. Amen. We just want to encourage you. We want to encourage you and you and you. Amen. To join us. Amen. Because guess what, y'all? This word is liberating. It is. It'll set you free. It'll set us free, amen, from the chains that have us bound, amen. Somebody done did something to you, hurt your feelings, guess what? Man, the word of God. Amen. Amen. Thank God. Thank God for just those who are here today. Thank God for Brother Rayfield back there. Amen. Amen. Thank God for him. Amen. Well, thank God for my brother Quill back here who's joining us today. Amen. Man, all of our visitors. And our friend, guess what? Thank God for our newlyweds back there. Amen. Amen. God bless them. Amen. Amen. We had the pleasure. Pastor Wright performed the ceremony. It was in May. We can say last month, right? Amen. But amen. It was a blessing. Had an opportunity to counsel with them. Just a blessing. Thank God for them. We continue just to pray for them. Amen. Amen. The Lord is attacking marriages and homes and families. Amen. Amen. But the blood of Jesus. Amen. The book of Romans, 5th chapter, First, starting at the first verse. Amen. Paul writes to us, he says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And the hope maketh not ashamed. Amen. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man. Some would even dare to die, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, man, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received. Amen. The atonement. Amen. Amen. If we were to choose a topic for this text, it's going to be simply in our focus verse is this verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Somebody say much more. Somebody say it like you mean it. Much more. Being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Amen. If we were to choose a topic or a title for this text, we want to talk about much more. We shall be saved by his life. Subtopic, save. Now what? You're saved. But now what? Amen. Are you in position? Let's look to the Lord. Gracious and eternal God, our Father, we thank you this morning. God, we honor you today. God, we reverence your holy and your righteous name because you're great and greatly to be praised. God, we thank you, oh God, for this privilege that we have to be called your sons and your daughters. This wonderful, sweet communion that we have, this awesome fellowship that we have in you, oh God. Help us this morning. Heavenly Father, even through the preached word, oh God, to see you, oh God. Heavenly Father, pass the words on the page. Pass all the yelling and the screaming that I'm about to do, oh God. We pray right now that you will reveal yourself to our hearts. Help us to see you, oh God. Heavenly Father, for you said in your word, if we draw nigh unto you, God, you will draw nigh unto us, oh God. Bring us to a point of intimacy with you this morning. Heavenly Father, conform us to the likeness of your Son. Heavenly Father, deliver our carnal minds to the will of the Spirit, oh God. Heavenly Father, that your life may take shape and form in us. Be magnified and be glorified unto great glory, O God. Heavenly Father, we ask right now that you would have your way. Crucify my flesh. Heavenly Father, mortify me, O God. Heavenly Father, that when I open my mouth, O God, Heavenly Father, that you would speak. God, we thank you right now. We praise you and we bless your name. We ask all these things in the mighty and the matchless name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our heart and soul says, amen. Amen. I'm going to just be honest, because we in church, I better be honest. I was up here, and man,
my device up here, which is a different device, start acting up. And the Lord must say, he must say, man, you don't need these notes. But we just going to see just for a second here. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Listen. Listen. Save now what? Right? It's all right. Man, I could not help but think about, amen, even as the Lord was dealing with my heart, man, every year, me and my family, as a child, my family being the family led by my father, we would go to Mississippi. We would drive to Mississippi every single year. Amen. That was our vacation. So much so that, man, when we would go back to school and people would talk about their vacation, anybody who said vacation, they said, well, I was on vacation. I'd be like, oh, you went to Mississippi too? Because that was the only place we ever went. And I thought vacation meant Mississippi because we hadn't been nowhere else. Man, the thing about it was, we would go, and I could not stand that 21-hour drive. I couldn't. Man, to the point where I would get car sick and everything else. Man, I could not stand the drive. I just could not wait to get to that destination. I couldn't wait to get to Mississippi. My cousins would be there. We would just have a good old time, right? But, man, my father, he would be in his glory. From the moment we got in that car, man, all the way, all 21 hours in, when we got there, he would enjoy himself, right? He would just have a good old time. And I couldn't understand it until I had my own family, right? And now me and my family, we go on vacation, right? And guess what, y'all? Just as much as getting there to the destination, I enjoy the ride. Man, you get in the car and you're driving down the highway and you can see everything that God has created. And you enjoy every single moment of what you can see and what you can take in, right? Right? And that comes from maturity. Amen. And guess what? This Christian walk and this salvation walk is the same way, y'all. See, and what we find is that so many people, amen, we're just satisfied with being saved. I'm saved and I'm sanctified and I'm waiting for the Lord to take me to heaven. Right? But we miss the whole experience. We miss out on the whole salvation experience. Just sitting on earth, taking in everything that we can take in, walking, just being totally subjected and influenced and impacted with everything that happens to us on a daily basis, right? And you see so many Christians walk around with their heads down. No peace, no joy. No fulfillment. You know why? Because they just saved waiting on Jesus to come. And we miss out on the whole purpose of our salvation. Guess what, y'all? The purpose of salvation is not heaven. That's the destination. The purpose of salvation is fellowship. That we might know Jesus Christ. That we might know the love of Christ. That we might experience the intimacy with God. That we might be filled with all the fullness of God. That's the purpose of salvation. Guess what? We ain't got to wait to heaven to have that. You can have it right now. But we get so overwhelmed and consumed with everything on earth. We watch the news. We're so inundated around what's happening on CNN and happening here and there. And guess what? We're so distracted by everything we hear, see, and everything that we feel, that we can't experience the love of Christ. That we can't enjoy this fellowship
and this relationship and this walk with God. Guess what, y'all? He didn't save us to put us up on a shelf. He saved us for himself. He didn't save us to be religious. He saved us to have intimacy. Every time Paul refers to the reconciliation that we have, he talks about the fact that we've been reconciled unto Jesus Christ. And that's been the blessing of this book of Ephesians. Every time you look and you read in Ephesians, everything that he says that we have is where, y'all? In him. It's in him. And that's what this salvation, listen, and that's why, and I get it, and I say it all the time. Thank God for this salvation. How many glad they saved? I'm glad I'm saved. Thank God for this salvation. But guess what? Guess what? Salvation is the means. It's not the end. Salvation, listen, the purpose of God was not to save you. His means was to save you by way of the cross. The ends is relationship. And even better than that, the ends is fellowship. Eternally. That's why God saved you. So you got, listen, we've got to understand. He didn't just do this to save us. We have to ask the question, I'm saved, but now what? What's the purpose of this salvation? We have to ask that question. And not just run around talking about, I'm saved, I'm saved. I'm saved, I'm saved. I'm saved, I'm reconciled, I'm saved. No, you're saved that you might be in Christ Jesus. And that he might be in you. Amen. Amen. And this is what Paul is dealing with in our text. Man, and just Paul has this masterful way. He has this masterful way of telling us the very same thing over and over and over again. Throughout all of these epistles, if you look closely and you get past the surface, you'll see that Paul is repeating himself. Paul is telling us about our salvation. He's telling us about what Christ has done. He's telling us who we are. He's telling us what we have. And he's letting us know how much he loves us. Over and over and over and over again, whether it be this text, whether it be Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 18, whether it be Colossians chapter 1, verses 14 through the end of the text, amen, whether it be 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 through 21, he's telling us the same thing, and he's telling us this very thing right here in our text. He's letting us know the path of this salvation. He's letting us know what Christ did to save us. But he did not just stop there. He's really doubling down right here in this text to let us know what we have as a result of this salvation. Why? Because as believers, we got to know. We've got to know what we have. We've got to know what we have in Jesus Christ. We've got to know all that Christ has done and what has been afforded us by way of the finished work on the cross. We got to know it, y'all. And this chapter 5 is actually a continuation. It's a continuation of chapter 4, where Paul is dealing with righteousness by way of faith. He's dealing with righteousness by way of faith, and he's letting us know in chapter 4 and carrying over into chapter 5, particularly in the beginning of this very chapter, he's letting us know that righteousness is imputed. That means righteousness has been accredited to our account, not by anything that we have done, but according to what Christ has done. Look at what he says in chapter 4, I think, starting at verse 2, listen, he says, for if Abraham were justified by works, He hath whereof to glory, but not before God. In other words, if Abraham had been saved or declared righteous by the works that he had done, he would only be able to boast in his works. But what he's letting us know is Abraham's works, just like all of our works, are temporary. They don't last. And that's the condition of this world. Amen. Seem like no matter what we do, we just can't get satisfied. No matter how much you do it, you just really can't. Think about it. Really just go back in your mind and think about what you've done, all you've acquired, and what you've attained. Are you really satisfied? Or has it created a need for you needing more? You know why? Because the flesh is insatiable. It can't be satisfied. You know why? Because you were created to be satisfied and fulfilled by one and one only, and his name is Jesus Christ. And that's what he said. He said, listen, if he was made righteous by his own works, his righteousness would be in vain. And then he goes on, he said, for what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. In other words, his righteousness was as of his faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Now to him that worketh is the reward, not reckoned of grace, but of debt. In other words, if your righteousness is according to your works, because your works are in vain and temporary, the reward that you receive as according to your righteousness is in vain and temporary. My work and your work is temporary, but the work of Jesus Christ, from which our righteousness resides, is eternal. And that's why everything that we get from Christ is in perpetuity. In other words, it lasts forever. And Christ is eternal peace. And Christ is eternal joy. And Christ is eternal validation and fulfillment. In me is temporary peace. You ever wonder why you only got a piece of peace? Because temporary things can't give you peace. You bought that brand new car, that piece lasted until you drove off the lot and you remember now you got a car payment. Man, this world cannot fulfill us. What it does is it lies to us and make us think that it can give us fulfillment, but it can't cash that check. That check is sure to bounce. But Christ, everything Christ comes to give us is eternal. Everything he promises us is eternal, and it's found in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We got to know it. We got to know it's only in Christ. So then he goes on and he lets us know. He says, listen. He says, your righteousness is as a result of your faith. Your righteousness, in other words, he's saying your position in Jesus Christ. Right? Because what do we say about righteousness? Righteousness is our right standing. Right? Where's your standing? Your standing is your position. But it's not standing in your own, on your own two feet or on the merits of anything that you've done, but only on the finished work of Jesus Christ. So my righteousness is my standing in Christ only according to my faith. According to my faith. And that's why he says, therefore, being justified or being made righteous by faith, we have some things. Right? What do we have? The first thing we have is peace with God. We have peace with God. It means there's no longer enmity between us and him. There's no longer anything between us. There's no longer any variance between us and God. He has afforded us a relationship with him. Right? And because we have, now he's made the way and we have, and he's opened the path for us to have relationship. He then says, we have access. We have access, again, by what? By faith. Into this grace wherein we stand. And then we can, and as a result, we can rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. What is he referring to? What is he talking about in these first two verses? He's talking about our fellowship. He's talking about our intimacy. And he's talking about our fulfillment. The peace represents our fellowship. Because now I agree with God. Because that's what fellowship represents. Did you know that? Fellowship represents agreement. See, we have agreement because we're the body of believers, or we are the fellowship of the believers, because we all hopefully, prayerfully agree on one thing, y'all: Jesus Christ is Lord. That's what gives us fellowship, because we agree. What gives us fellowship with God is that we agree with him. See, because you can have relationship. People talk about, oh, my relationship. And relationship is good. But what we got to know is there are good and bad relationships. I can have a relationship with you. We know one another. You know me and I know you. But we can have a rocky relationship. That means there's problems between me and you. Me and you might not agree about some stuff. You might got a problem with me and I might have a problem with you. Does not mean we don't have a relationship. Just means we got a rocky relationship. And some of us have a rocky relationship with God. You know why? Because we don't agree. What don't we agree about? We don't agree with what he says about himself. We don't agree about what he says about us. We don't agree about what he says about what we have. And we don't agree with how much he says he loves us. You know why? Because if you did, we wouldn't come into church with those raggedy attitudes. I'm serious. The name of Jesus would set your heart on fire if you were truly in agreement and fellowship with him. You would believe what he says over your situation. See, some of y'all come in here with the baggage of what you're going through at work, with the baggage of what you're going through at home, with the baggage of what somebody said about you or what somebody did to you. But what God says about you has to overshadow what you're going through, and then you wouldn't come in here with your head down. And the name of Jesus would set your heart on fire. But see, that's the thing. That's what we don't understand. Religion can't get you there. Your church membership can't get you there. Temporary things can't get you there. Only you living in your position in Christ Jesus can get you there. You got to know. Listen, y'all. Listen. We got to know by. That's why he says by faith. That's why Paul says it's with the heart. Man believes unto what, y'all? That's what he's talking about. Man believes unto righteousness. We're justified by faith. And if I don't have a heart's belief, this world is going to tear me asunder. I'm serious. That's why you'll walk around with the woe is me every time somebody look at you funny. Because we lack a heart's belief over what we see, hear, and feel. This is where God wants us. That's our position. And he reminds us, and here's the thing. See, and I'm already talking about it, but that's what he's dealing with even in these next verses. He's saying, listen, listen, when you know your position, this world can't steal your joy. When you have a heart's belief, when your faith leads to righteousness, and you truly have a heart's belief, the enemy can't discourage you. This ain't me. This is what he's saying. Look at what he says. He says, and not only so, but what did he say? He said, we glory where? In good times. That's what he said, right? Ain't that what verse 3 say?
Come on.
You sure? Do you believe it? Does your heart believe it? He says, look, he says, because guess what? When I'm in position, or my standing is in Christ Jesus, what he does is he changes my lens. He changes how I see what I'm going through. He changes my perspective on this life. You know why? Because of the hope I have in Christ Jesus, I see tribulation differently. Because he's engrafted in my heart what he tells us, what he said to us in Romans 8 and 28, what he say? And we know that God causes all things, the good, the bad, the indifferent, what they said, how things went, whether they went good or bad, he causes all things to work together for the good of them that love him and who are the called according to his purpose. But I got to see him. But listen, I got to be in position. I got to know. See, because that's the whole thing. Y'all, guess what? You can be saved and still have no joy. You can be saved and still have no peace. You can be saved and still have no fulfillment if you don't understand what's next. It does not stop with your salvation. Salvation is just the start. But it continues with cultivating an intimate relationship that you can be and do like Paul said, that we might grow in the knowledge or the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Guess what, y'all? We got to grow in fellowship. We got to grow in fellowship. We've got to grow in Christ Jesus. Some people been in church 100 years and ain't grown a little bit. You know why? Because you're distracted. If you ain't distracted by what's going on outside of the church, you're distracted by what's going on inside of the church. When you ain't listening, your focus needs to be Jesus. That's what he saved us for. That's what he saved us to. And guess what, y'all? And I said it the other day. Pastor Wright say it all the time. Guess what? Do you know that the spirit of religion is worse than the spirit of addiction? Because the spirit of religion brings along a spirit of false security. You think you safe, but you're not. Because you're so busy being religious instead of seeking your relationship or your fellowship or seeking agreement with God. But guess what? Religion can't get you here. It can't get us to the place where God, there's no position in religion. Our hearts have to be broken to the truth of God. That's why he says it's righteousness by faith. Why? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. What do we hope for, y'all? We hope for everything that God says. That's our hope. And if we don't know, or our hearts are not broken to what God says, then our faith is built on a false foundation. Faith is faith. But faith is only as good on is only as good as what you put it in. If you put your faith in people, you got failing faith. If you put your faith in objects and things, then you have failing faith. If you put your faith in anything beyond Jesus Christ, you've got dead faith. But my Bible says that my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. I've got to put my faith in something that's going to last and not anything that's going to fail. Man, our faith has got to be in Jesus Christ. Some of us got faith in our money. Some of us put our faith in our jobs. Some of you put your faith, guess what, y'all? Some of us have put our faith in our husband or our wife. And guess what? You are inviting the enemy to come in and mess your whole world up. Because every single one of them things that I just named will fail you. We can't put our faith in things that break, depreciate, run off, run out, and die. We got to put our faith in Jesus Christ. He's the only one, y'all. He's the only one. His word is the only thing that's going to last forever. Tell me, where else does the word of God testify of anything else that's going to last? The grass withers and the flower fades, but the Bible says the word of the Lord is going what? It's going to stand forever. Heaven and earth are going to pass away, but his word, what, y'all? His word is going to last forever. What are we putting our faith in? We got to put our faith in Jesus Christ. So he says, not only so, but we glory. We can glory in tribulation. What's the next word he says? Also. What's the word he says after also? What? Somebody said it. What? Knowing. Knowing. What does knowing mean? He's talking about our faith. He says knowing, meaning our hearts have been broken, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. See, listen, when we're in position, God changes the way you see your tribulation. You'll look at your tribulation differently. That's why David could testify and say what? He said, what did David say? David said, it was good for me. It was good for me that, what? Y'all will have to help me out. I ain't got my notes. It was good for me that I had been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. You'll see your tribulation differently. He said, what did he say? In this life you shall have tribulation. But because I see my tribulation through the lens of God's love, I can be of good cheer. Because I know that he's already overcome this world. And what I go through, listen, y'all, as believers, we ought to see our tribulation differently. We ought to be able to rejoice in even, guess what? You can rejoice even in what you go through. If you know, if your heart is broken, your membership don't get you that. Your fellowship will get you that. Man, it's only what we know. Man, it's our faith in Christ Jesus that'll get us there. Man, why do you think Paul could say what he said? He said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of that power is not of us, but it's of God. What did he say? He said, what's the next line? Trouble on every side. See, that's the lens. He said, yeah, I'm troubled on every side, but yet I'm not distressed. He said, I'm perplexed, but I'm not in despair. He says, I'm persecuted, but I'm not forsaken, and I'm cast down, but I'm not destroyed. Why? Because there's a lens to which I see my tribulation. Man, we've got to know. He said, tribulation worketh patience. You know what that means? That means tribulation will bring you to a place where you put all of your dependency and hope on Jesus Christ. And you'll say to yourself, God, if you don't come through, ain't nothing I can do. Because it's only in your power that I'm going to make it. So I'm just going to wait on you. I'm going to trust in you. While I'm waiting, I'm going to fast a little bit. While I'm waiting, I'm going to pray just a little bit harder. While I'm waiting, I'm going to get in my closet and I'm going to meditate on the goodness and the validating promises of Jesus Christ. Man, it worketh patience, and I wait on God. And guess what? He's setting us up. He said, patience worketh experience. What does that experience represent? That experience represents the fact that he's a faithful God. Your experience will be that God shows up on time. And he comes through every single time. So that tribulation, listen, that tribulation is producing something in us. It's growing us. It worketh patience, and patience worketh experience. And guess what? And now, because God has shown up, that experience worketh hope. Not hope. I hope so. I hope it worked out. No. That's not no. That hope means assurance. That's it. The knowing. That hope is a knowing. That hope is a knowing that God is faithful. That God is just. That God, listen, that he's not like man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent, but he's faithful to keep his word and his promise. That he who has promised is faithful. He said, hope worketh patience, and patience worketh, tribulation worketh patience, and patience worketh experience, and experience worketh assurance. He's growing us. He's growing us up. He's growing us up in him, right? Worketh assurance, and assurance makes us not ashamed. You know what that means? It means it never disappoints. See, and that's the thing. Some of us are so disappointed. We disappointed. Somebody done let us down. Somebody didn't show up for us. You were dependent on somebody and they failed you. And now you're walking around. Well, now you're walking around all kinds of messed up and you can't get over it. Because you tried everybody except Jesus. Because you put your faith in everything except what he's told you. But the Bible says that we'll never be disappointed. We'll never be ashamed. Why? Why won't we ever be ashamed? Because the love of Christ has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. See, here we go. And that's the thing. And we're almost done. That's the thing. See, you want to know? You want to know why so many of us, we struggle in being in position in Christ Jesus? Because we ain't got nothing to keep us there. You know, we ain't got nothing to keep us there. We church can't keep us there. No matter how much you show up to the church house. And listen, I'm not coming against church. I love the fellowship. He says, fail not to assemble yourself. It's the word. We've got to come together, but we've got to understand. We got to understand what this thing is about. Church is a tool to remind us and to train us that we might become disciplined in Christ Jesus. Our place is in Christ Jesus. Our staying power is not the church. Our staying power is the love of Christ. It's the love of Christ that's going to keep us in him. When people let you down and fail you, man, you got to think on the love of Jesus Christ. That's one of that. Listen, ain't no staying power like the love of Christ. There's no power greater than the love of Jesus Christ. It will sustain you. Didn't it keep him up on the cross? Guess what, y'all? If he didn't love us, he would have got down. He would have got down and scrapped the whole project. I'm done. I'm tired of them. I'm tired of them disappointing me. I'm tired of them rebelling against me. I'm tired of the fact that they can't get along with one another. I'm tired of them talking about the pastor. I'm tired. But guess what? He loved us. Instead of throwing us away, he decided to. He He decided to love us. And that's what Paul is talking about. That's what Paul is talking about. Paul said, because the love of Christ is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Y'all, listen. If you don't do nothing else, you better fall in love. I'm serious. Stop coming to church. Listen. Stop coming to church for any other reason. Fall in love with Jesus Christ. Because if you don't fall in love, guess what? Man, this world is going to eat us up. It will. If the love of Christ is not sustaining us and keeping us, that's what this thing is all about. That's the thing. This thing, listen, and that's why I say this thing ain't about, listen, I'm scared to go to hell. I got to go to heaven, so I better get saved. No, that's not good enough. That's not good enough, because guess what? Heaven is for people who love Jesus. Heaven ain't for scared folk. Heaven is for people who love Jesus Christ. You know why? And that's why some of us are going to be messed up. We're going to be all kinds of confused when we get to heaven. Because you are so busy, because you was going to heaven for what's in it for you. Oh, I got a mansion, and I got some gold, man, and I got some pearly gates, and these men in Revelations talk about all these jewels I'm going to get. I'm going to be wearing a big old gold cross around my neck when I get to heaven. All the stuff I couldn't afford to buy, that's what I'm going to get in heaven. No, you know what you're going to get in heaven? You're going to get a heavy dose of Jesus Christ. And if you ain't in love with him, you ain't going to be satisfied with heaven. Heaven is all about, it's imagery, y'all. Revelations is imagery. God ain't thinking about satisfying you with stuff. He's going to satisfy us with what he predestined to satisfy us with from the very beginning, which is Jesus Christ. That's why he says in Revelation, when we get there, we ain't going to have no more need for the sun. Why? Because the glory of God is going to fill that place, the presence of God. He said we ain't going to have no more need for the church. Because our need for fellowship and connection is going to be completely and utterly fulfilled in Jesus Christ. You ain't going to be thinking about nothing if you're saved. You ain't going to be thinking about nothing but Jesus. Somebody said, I don't know, how big you think my mansion going to be? Somebody said that one day. I just shook my head. Man, it's all about Christ Jesus, and we've got to be in love. And then he doubles down on the fact, right? And he goes on, he says, what does he say? He says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Man, listen, that's what I say. Paul repeats himself, y'all. He repeats himself over and over. If you look closely in the text, he repeats him. He's saying the same thing that I read earlier in chapter 4. Get it? He says, in due time, he says, when was the right time? When we were not thinking about him. When we had our backs turned on him. That was the perfect time for him to go to the cross. Why? So we couldn't take credit for it. So that we wouldn't think there was something about us. Well, you know what, man? I was just so, man, he had to save me. He had to, because I was just so cute and cuddly. Man, I know why he saved me. No, guess what? Still to this day, guess what, y'all? I don't have a clue. I still don't understand why Jesus decided to save my ratchet behind. I'm serious. Guess what? It is of no, listen. He said it's the perfect gift of God, not of works, not of me and your works. Why? Lest any man should ever begin to boast. That's why he decided to save us when we were not thinking about him. That's why he said he commended a love. He sent his love out searching for us. When we didn't want to be found, we was just as happy, satisfied, and content in our sin. Happy being selfish and self-centered. I'm testifying about my own self. Self-righteous, self-indulgent, just self, 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 and more self. I was happy right in that place when the love of Jesus Christ found me and exposed my need for a Savior. That's what he did for us, y'all. See, this is what we got to get, y'all. This is what Paul is letting us know. Listen, it's more than just, oh, I'm saved. No, he did not just save us to save us. Yes, he rescued you, but he rescued us for a purpose. That we might find our everything in Jesus Christ. That's why he said, and I'm done now. That's why he tells us in that verse 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. In other words, he's saying, if his death was powerful enough and sufficient enough to save us and reconcile us and bring us to himself, he says, look at what he said. He says, much more. Somebody say much more. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. He's saying if his death was sufficient enough to save us, he says, what in the world more will this, his life in us, do for us? He said, you thought you was getting something when you got saved? He says, watch what I do in your life when you line up with me. Watch what I do in your life when you die to self and let me take over your life. He said, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But what did he say? I come that you might have life and life more abundantly. What did he tell us? He said, listen, what did he tell us in Colossians chapter 3? He says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of the Father. Set your affections on things above and not on the earth, for you are dead and your life is hid in Christ Jesus. And when Christ, who is your life, see, we got to get a life. And that's not a life in this world, but that's life in Jesus Christ. Somebody say much more. Somebody say much more. Much more. Much more. And we're cheating ourselves. Because we just happy to be saved. And we miss out on the whole purpose of our salvation. You can be saved and miss out on the whole salvation experience. Because you know what the experience is? The experience is Christ. The experience is Christ's life in us. The experience is taking this word and committing it to your heart so that this word may become your living experience. Not the church experience. Some of us just happy with the church experience. We come in church, can't wait to dance. Can't wait to jump from chandelier to chandelier and then go out and live a defeated life. What kind of mess is that? You have a form of godliness, but you deny the power thereof. Man, and so many people. When I tell you there's going to be disappointment, crying, and weeping at the gate, I'm telling you right now, because he did not save you to sit on the shelf. He saved you. Listen, our salvation is the beginning of an eternal fellowship. It starts the minute you repented of your sin. and said, Jesus, I trust you for my life. And from that moment on, guess what? Heaven started right then in your heart. The kingdom of God is in us. At that moment, he translated you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear. Stop being religious. I'm telling you. It's all about him and you. That's what this thing is about. That's all it's about. Everything else is going to fly by the wayside. I'm telling you right now. It's all about you and him. Do you have an intimate relationship with him? Much more, having reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And there might be one here today as we stand. Listen, it's time out. I'm serious. It's time out. It's time out for coming and playing church. And guess what, y'all? And listen, when I say that, some people get mad and offended. Listen, don't nobody come with the mindset, oh, I'm going to go play church today. No, but we're confused and deceived by the devil that this is the totality of our salvation. And it's not. It's so much more. It's life in Christ Jesus. It's life in him. And I'm telling you right now, man, we better get to know him. We better get to know this love. We better get to know this Christ Jesus. He's the only one, y'all. It's only him. He said, it's in him that I move. And it's in him that I breathe. That's life. And it's in him that I have my being. It's all about you and him. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, not just as the Savior of your life, but as your life, come get to know him. Come give your life to Jesus Christ, that he might fulfill you, that he might validate you, that he might affirm you. Is there one here today that wants to give their life to Jesus Christ as the choir sing? Second call, you might be in a backslidden state. See, that's the beauty of position. Your position is eternal. Your position don't change. Your condition might change. But listen, the grace of God is always inviting you back to line up. So if you're in broken fellowship, we ask you to come, that you might be reconciled back into your rightful position. Is there one here today? Is there anybody who desires prayer? We ask you to come to the altar if you desire prayer.
I want to tell the world that I'm bound.
sweet.